You know, I remember somewhere around 15 or so years ago for myself, as I had gone through the season of pursuing my own interests for a good while there, the Lord called me back. That message, that passage, the parable, the passage Danny showed this morning about the man who couldn't forgive those who had already, he had already been forgiven himself, came forward. And I had been in a season in my life where I'd been estranged from a friend that had been very close to me because we had a falling out. And that word, that parable, came into sharp contrast with me. Just step back into my relationship with and said, what I'm serious with you again. Really, I want you to transform my life. And that was one of the first messages I heard and recognized that as much as I had been forgiven of, I was holding something against somebody else. And that couldn't be any part of me. And I had to reach that place of forgiveness. How many of you know that it takes sometimes to get to forgiveness? God is aware of that. And like Manny's talked about, it's the Lord. You know I'm going to get there. Help me get there. And so we want to move into that sort of place. I'm not going to focus on that parable this morning, but I think there's an undertone there that's important for us in the season that we're in. Before you start, I just want to pray. We will be sorry that you said it. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for how you're revealing Jesus to us today. We thank you for your word in this time, for what you're doing in this season. We ask right now that you open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to hear from you. Jesus, we love you. We lift your name on high. You are a king. And we choose to walk in alignment with you. For when everything around us is shaken, you are unshakable. And so we hold fast to you. We plant our feet firmly on you, our rock, our savior, our refuge, our fortress, our foundation from this time. I ask this, Lord, that the things that need to fall away will fall away so we can more accurately represent you in this time and that we can stand up in our purpose in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to shake off a few things. That was a fun joke. I'm going to shake off some things this evening. Some of us have been walking around in this time, in this COVID, this 2020 year that we're in, the political, the cultural, the everything that we're in, the economic situation that we're in. There's a lot that's being shaken right now. There's a lot that's burying people in this situation. But we as a church are set apart. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're experiencing many of the things that other people are, but we have a hope, we have a future, we have a calling, and we have a destiny. And God has a purpose for us in this season. So if you've been feeling like you've been cut adrift, you feel like you're being buried, you feel like you're overwhelmed, like everything that you're experiencing is being shaken, you feel like that you have no purpose, or you're trying to find what your purpose is right now. Maybe you're feeling purposeless. I'm here to tell you today that God has something for you in this season. Not to be overcome. He's already overcome the world. We stand in that reality right now. I heard somebody say recently, we're not working towards victory. He already has victory. And so it's for us to stand in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the change, in the midst of the uncertainty that the world is experiencing right now. And as much as we're being affected by it, for us to have our eyes raised and say, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for us in this time? If you're here with us last weekend, and if you have watched online, and took a pretty direct course of action towards the Black Lives Matter movement and what's behind that, the communist undercurrents that are in that, and go back and watch that video. It's a very important thing for us to see right now because there are very large-scale issues that are going on in our country And there's a lot of scatter that's trying to keep us distracted from what's happening there. But we as a people of God have a purpose in this time. God's calling us to something right now. And one of the questions I keep getting from people is, what actions do I take? I'm facing the bottom line. What thing do I put myself to? How do I make things change? How do I cause something positive to happen here? And there's so much that's going on. And at the end of last week's sermon, I shared with you this. There's something I'm going to share with you today. It's something that we're going to do. An action that we're going to be taking. We're going to get there. This year's been a crazy year. What a season we've been in. We're still in it. Things are still happening. I'm not sure what's going to happen next. But I know that the Lord has something for us in it. So I want to tell you right now that I know the state that you're in this season. If you're feeling depression, you're feeling pressured, you're feeling hopeless, you didn't just fall into this. God knew this was happening from before the dawn of time. He's not surprised by this. And it's no mistake that you yourself personally are alive during this time. God set our times and our boundaries and seasons, where we live, all those things. He knows where that's going to be. And he's called you to this time. He has called you to this time, church. It's important for us to know the seasons that we're in. What have we been seeing? COVID-19, masks, no masks, businesses closed, quarantines, jobs shuttered, changed, families educating while they're working. What are we going to do? We're sending our kids to school, they're doing school at home. Protests, riots, lootings, fires, earthquakes, hurricanes, political chasms. Movements to overthrow our governmental system, all sorts of stuff is going on. Underneath all those layers, we have a spirit of division, confusion, deception, witchcraft at work, sowing dissension behind all this stuff. It's amazing. But there's a spiritual dynamic and component to all of this. And it's moving across society at large. And it's even moving inside the church. And people are having a hard time. I read an article that was sent to me by Pastor Manny. It's by David Kinneman. It's called Four Ways the Pandemic is Negatively Impacting People. Just going to give you the four ways. A very interesting read to talk about just the mental health issues, the challenges that we're having. Mental health has reached crisis levels. The gnawing problem of loneliness is growing. Relationships are straining under new pressures. And addictions have deepened. We're seeing these trends increasing right now. And the church is seeing the same thing. It's not just in our culture. We're seeing it in the church too. People's patience level is thin. We've seen lots of attacks, personal attacks that are going on between people. We've seen families that are eating at each other and chewing at each other. Maybe you've seen that happen. Maybe you've been part of that. Maybe you've watched it happen in someone else's family. Maybe you're seeing it happen in your own family. Friend structures, places where people have been friends for years, decades, been torn apart by different ideologies, differences of opinions on. It's like if there's a crack anywhere, the enemy is getting in there and driving a wedge between people. It's happening everywhere. We have a real pandemic that's going on. People are dying. There's pestilence. There's fires. There's floods. Hurricanes. Things that we cannot control are being arrayed against us in multitudinous ways. To the point where something comes up, it was unforeseen, it's calamitous, and what do people say? No, it's 2020. It's just another thing to throw on the pile. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's within Christian circles or non-Christian circles, people have a have a common understanding that this year is unlike any other year we have seen in collective memory. Something's different in this time. God calls his people into these seasons to stand apart. When we see calamities coming, when we see things that are arrayed against our nation, he calls his people, to rise up before him and humble themselves. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14 says, after the temple has been constructed and consecrated, here's what he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Let's be real. There's sin. There's sin that our nation is committing. There's sins that we have committed. There's things that we see that we know are wrong before God. And he calls his people to stand in that place representationally and say, God, forgive my sin. Forgive the sins of the people. Forgive us, Lord. Come heal our land. He calls us to humble ourselves before him. What does that look like? One of the major ways that looks like is this fasting, this praying, this repenting before him. I'm going to go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. We see God say this, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. And then he goes on and he describes about this army that is arrayed, that is going to come like locusts and devour the land. It's a terrifying thing that's coming, and it's a judgment. But what happens? You get down here into verse 12. It says this, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. I'm going to stop right there to pause. Rend your heart and not your garments. Make reference to what Pastor Daniel did up here before. He held the Ten Commandments, right? On his fluorescent stone, the tablets, written in child's speech, so we can all understand what he said there. He held it up and he says, this is God's commandment. And then he turned around and he says, but this is where God's heart is. When you hear of something of blasphemy, or if you were mourning or weeping or being penitent before the Lord, you could tear your garments as an outward expression of what was taking place. But God says, rend your hearts, not your garments. He's saying, I don't want your outward show. I want your heart. I want your heart. We've said this before several times in the past couple months. God is always after our hearts. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings to the Lord your God. Again, we hear the blow your trumpet in Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children. Those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? God's specific as he's laying those things out there in Scripture. We see the old, the young, the very young. It's so important that we go to fasting, that we stop what's happening in the bedchamber of the new, of the newlyweds. He's saying, everybody come out, come before me, humble yourself before me, fast and pray. Cry out to God. For the priests to weep there, between the portico and the altar. That's a public place. That's something that can be seen by Jews and Gentiles. Those who minister before the Lord weeping in a public place, crying out to God. God calls us to fasting. Fasting is a very real, practical, physical way that we are able to take action and moving towards God and humbling ourselves. And fasting breaks chains, it breaks yokes, it aligns us with the Lord. It's an important spiritual practice, spiritual discipline for us to practice as we go through our lives. And he calls us corporately to it. You probably know what I'm doing with this. But I want to read to you from Isaiah 58. I'm going to read that chapter. I encourage you to open it, whatever form you have, and read along with me. I'm going to be in the NIV if you have the opportunity to select your version, your translation. I've been ruminating on this chapter for a while now. And the Lord has been bringing us to this place. And it's not just a coincidence that he has us in this place on this weekend, in this season. We're supposed to know the times and seasons. Today feels like fall. We're still in the summer. But it feels like fall. It's important for us to know the times and the seasons that we're in so that we can act accordingly with what God is doing. This is a chapter about true fasting. And as I'm reading it to you, and as we're reading it together, I want you to take and listen to it, but also reflect on where we have been as a people, as a culture, and what we're seeing taking place. Think about Facebook. Think about the way we're talking to each other. Think about what you've seen.